The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. These are the words of G.K. Chesterton, who found Christians, including himself, did not put their faith into action. But even the curmudgeon Chesterton would agree there was a notable exception. Francis of Assisi, the saint whose day we celebrated yesterday, the saint who launched a million birth baths, hundreds and thousands of statues, and the occasional service of the blessing of the animals, a saint who actually lived the gospel. Saint Francis of Assisi was the son of a wealthy textile merchant and part of an Italian middle class. His father's wealth and Francis's own natural charisma made the young man a leader from his youth in his hometown. And later Francis gained a rock star-like form and following in the early 1200s. And he remains famous today, not because of his wealth, but because of his relationship with animals and because of the ministry that he had, the service that he has done in the world. As a boy, Francis dreamed of earning glory in battle. He got his chance at early age when he enlisted, and along with the other young men of Assisi, to fight in a feud against the neighboring city-state. But Francis was imprisoned for a time. Defeated in a battle, he came back. And Francis's path toward God took a series of turns closer and closer to God. However, the course of Francis's life was profoundly changed, not through his father's business and wealth, but through two formative experiences. On a pilgrimage to Rome, Francis saw a beggar outside St. Peter's Church, and the Holy Spirit moved Francis to trade places with the beggar. Francis exchanged clothes with a beggar, then spent the day begging for alms. And the experience of being poor shook Francis to the core. Later, he is known by hugging a leper, which left a deep mark in Francis. Shaped by this experience, he identifies strongly with the poor. But Francis's life in God called him to lay down a life that was convenient and lead a life that was radically simple. By the time of his death, the love of God had compelled Francis to accomplish much toward rebuilding the church. We remember today Francis, and we connect that Francis story with the gospel reading of a Jesus who tells those who follow him that they are to serve God without any thought of reward. Jesus said, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing and tending the sheep, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink'? Do not thank the slave for doing what was commanded. So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Now that, my friends, is not what we call nice behavior. And yes, that was the Holy Spirit calling. We're having a little bit of trouble with the organ, so do not be frightened. Muslims are not taking over. So when you come in from doing something good for God, Jesus says, don't expect a reward, only more work. If you don't believe me, just ask a priest. It's a wonder the crowds follow Jesus at all. But what exactly is the work of God? And in what way are we to serve him? We have the example of St. Francis, and to add to that, of Jesus' own life and ministry. And how can we, in our own time and place, attempt to live more fully in the gospel? First, there is no getting around to the fact that the Bible knows nothing of professional clergy serving a congregation. though this may not be good for my career and Father Blake's career. But the Bible teaches that all Christians are ministers of the Bible by the virtue of their baptism. Then as ministers, each of us has a variety of jobs to do in the kingdom of God based on the gifts we have been given. While congregations benefit from the ministry of priests and deacons, the real work of the church happens when the people in the pews live out their faith in the day-to-day lives. And this includes many thankless tasks, showing love and mercy even in small ways and even if no one notices. You know how these thankless tasks are, because you have the same issues at home. Do you get thanked every time when you do the dishes, or cut the grass, or do the laundry, or do make your bed? Probably not. But permit time pass without doing these things, you would notice, you're sure to hear about it from somebody else, that you're failing. These are thankless tasks, and you take them on with no thought of getting praise for doing them. Notice that in the gospel reading, Jesus tells of the servant who does what he or she is supposed to do in response to the disciples asking for more faith. First, he tells them the parable of the mustard seed and how the tiniest amount of faith is enough to accomplish great things for God. Then he goes on to describe the thankless task of serving God, his Father. It is in serving God that we find our faith strengthened. We are not to serve others for the thanks that we get. We are to serve others as serving Jesus, because that is the life God calls us to, knowing that we will benefit more than the people we help. We will benefit in increased faith and in increased love. Francis took his mustard seed of faith and used it to trust that he could hug a leper, though he was terribly afraid. And in this process, he found faith. And so again and again, in his steps of faith, emboldened Francis to trust God more. And it is the same for you and I. Each step of faith strengthens us, our trust in God, to follow him even boldly. To come back around to G.K. Chesterton, he also advised, let your religion be less of a theory and be more of a love affair. That was Francis, living out a love affair with God. And when it is me and you living in the love of God into the world, then Christianity will have been tried and not found wanting, nor will it be a serious series of thankless tasks. Walking the life of Christ's faith then is not done in search of thanks or praise, but simply an act of love, a relationship of love with Jesus Christ. Then you and I can join Francis in saying that we are merely servants doing what we are called to do with our gifts, with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. We call ourselves servants, knowing what we do for love, for the one who knows us fully and loves us more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that is none other than a God who demonstrated the perfect form of love on the cross by giving up his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.